Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We got to wait another day for Nets Bucks. And
just
for the Bucks.
More. Just one more.
But if you're the Bucks, you're kind of happy that you get an extra day. Because
are you?
The beat, yes.
No, I
don't
know.
You don't think so?
See, my thing is for the Bucks, man, there's so much on the line here. You're coming back home down 2-0. You just got blitzed by 39 points. Like, if anything, man, you better be chomping at the bit to get out there.
You want to get right back to it?
You want to go get it.
I need to distance myself from
that game. Get your brains together.
That's a day of questions. Another day of questions. Like, whoa, happened 30? I don't want to deal with that.
Well,
like,
here's
let me play.
Here's the question that I would have. And we have talked about how if the Bucks don't get through this, it's the first guy you look at is Mike Budenholzer.
Yes. Right?
He's been there now a while, and they've been a really good regular season team, and they just have not gotten it done in the postseason, not at least to their expectations. And then they get into this series, which you and I both, right? You and I were both like, this could be the best series that we see in the playoffs. It could be that competitive. Then the Nets lose James Harden, one of their big three, 43 seconds into the series. He's out now. But that game and game two, didn't matter. Bucks got smoked in both games. We're down by almost 50 in game two, lose by almost 40. And so when that happens, normally you will hear a head coach address the media in a certain way that sets a tone. This is not who we are. Whatever it is, it's just, you tend to expect someone to say something that if I'm a fan, I need to hear it. If you're a player, you might need to hear it. Maybe, of course, you hear it behind closed doors, but still. I think it's important. If I'm an owner, I want to hear it. And tell me if you heard it from Coach Bud after game two. Listen.
Whether you get beat by a point or by 40, you know, you got to be ready for game three. You know, you got to have a short-term memory. You got to get yourself ready, understand what we need to do in game three. So I think the locker room, there's a lot of great leadership in there.
Sorry, I fell asleep. What was that?
Well, I mean, he's a coach, man. He's not going to, kick a door in, throw a trash can. That's just not his style. He's a coach. He's coaching. He's just talking
you know
to the media.
This is great. Can I follow up on that?
I know what Key said.
Key said he's a coach. That's great. He is a coach. He's not the coach for this team, because the coach for this team, and I, Key, I don't know if you felt this way, but you always brought it. But for me, I needed there had to be a trickle down effect with the way my coach felt. I know I was going to feel, and if there's a sense of urgency from my coach,
yes,
if there was venom that was coming from my coach, then that's going to translate from me as the player to the floor. And it's interesting because we heard sound from Giannis the other day too, and it was almost the same tonality. Like, well, we're just going to come back. We're going to work hard for game three. And you want to hear something different from – and I know Giannis is built like that because I've seen him talk that way before. You just want it to come from the head coach to be the coach for this team.
Sounds like
– But every coach message is sent differently. I've had Bill Parcells throw a trash can and curse everybody out. And I had Tony Dungy, and both of them are in the Hall of Fame. They both won Super Bowls. TD come up and say, we just got to do better next time, man. You know, this was a tough one to swallow, and we got to do better next time. And that was it. And then I had Coach Gruden, and it's like, well, man, like, come on, man.
Well,
stop.
You can't dial it too high. You have to
But I've had them all. I've had Foxy joke about things when you lose a game. He's sitting up there joking, and I know he's serious about the situation. And I know that the sarcasm that Dungy coached with. And I know how mean Bill could have been. And somebody was going to pay.
But Keith, hang on. You keep saying a coach. Like, I'm with you. I understand different. But it's also about strategy. Like, I'm wondering, like, why isn't Giannis at the five?
Giannis should be at the five.
Why are you zoning? Why is Brooke Lopez still in the game? It's a matchup nightmare. Blake Griffin is destroying you. In-game adjustments. Then you add the tonality of this to it. You're like,
but he was talking about the tone versus the X's and O's, which you're talking about.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a combination of
them
both.
It's all of that. But let's discuss tone again for a second, because it also, to me, sometimes everything he's saying there sort of represents the Bucks. That's the other issue
the
that you have is like, how he sounded, that's kind of how the Bucks are. Now, listen to the different take. And this is another similar situation. Michael Malone has been the coach of the Nuggets for several years. They have been, just like the Bucks, a team that's building. Just like the Bucks, they have an MVP. just like the Bucks, their expectations are high now because, okay, you've been here a number of times. When are you going to take that step? We're waiting.
And they don't have their second best player.
And they are missing their second best player, right. So they lose game one to the Suns, and they lose it in a fashion that was embarrassing. I mean, they got destroyed in the second half. They got blown out. So listen to how Michael Malone sounds after his game.
I do believe come game two, our guys will be a lot more aggressive. And it's really easy. You know, I think one thing I learned when I first came into the NBA a long time ago from Jeff Van Gundy, understand why you win, understand why you lose. And oh, yeah, you make baskets when you win, of course. But there's a lot of other things that go into it. When we beat Portland in four games, we were the aggressor. We were the more physical team. And that has to be the case. We're undermanned. There's a reason no one's giving us a chance to win this series. We have to bring our best version of ourselves. And tonight, we didn't get that from a lot of guys. And we'll need it come Wednesday night.
So I know it still sounds like coach speak, but it had a little more oomph to it. He also went on to talk about not playing soft. Aaron Gordon agreed. He also said, I'll take it further and say we played scared. Coach sets a tone with something like that. The players start talking it, and then it starts to become that thing that carries into what we'll find out tonight in game two. So is there a difference between the two, or is it just a personality thing?
I personally think it's a personality thing.
So you don't think it's important at all?
Okay. Your message is being sent from your head coach's personality. And that personality is such that that's who he is. You've been around him. Yeah, all of a sudden, if he goes into something that he's never done before, that's not authentic.
That's fair.
And so you can't all of a sudden expect for Bud to be like, yeah, they got to do it, because that ain't never been
here.
No.
That's why I said he's a coach. He's not the coach for this team. Now, maybe they can turn it around. Maybe they find a way to get inspired by Coach Bud, because they need to find inspiration. But when I hear that line, whether you lose by 1 point or whether you lose by 40 points,
you
still have to get ready for game three. I hear that. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But you just got embarrassed. It was close to 50 points at once. And for me, if I'm at the podium, my style is we're not going to be embarrassed. We are exponentially better than the team you just saw on the court, and you're going to see that team in game three.
But see,
like,
Coach,
that's what.
It's not like they lost by 15.
They lost by 40. It was close to 50 at one point.
It's a playoff game.
It was a national embarrassment.
Your personality.
I know.
He may not have that for the media, but in his team meetings, he could be up there with the pen showing why they lost by 39 in. What are you laughing at?
The pen.
Because it's always the pen.
The clicker.
It's always the clicker, the red dot, the pen.
The red dot.
In showing them why it took place. But he also understands he's up against it. He's up against the greatest player in the world right now in Kevin Durant. He's up against it. He knows that. And they know that. So to come out and scream and holler or change your tone wouldn't be authentic. It just wouldn't be, Jay.
Here's my thing. Is Kevin Durant the greatest offensive player in the world? Sure. I don't give a damn. If I'm honest, I do not give a damn.
I understand that you don't.
But this is what I talk about mentality-wise, though. It takes a dog to beat a dog, man. It does. Like, there gets to a certain point where you need to combat that with that same energy.
Depending on how big that dog is.
It don't matter, though. It don't matter if I'm a smaller dog. I'm going to bite just as hard or even harder because I have to. I have no other choice, or I'm going to be ran over by the bigger dog constantly. And that's what you want to feel from Giannis, Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday. And it starts with the way your head coach addresses them and the media. It really does. Because now that's a reflection of how I deem you as a team.
It is true.
With what your coach says, that's how I'm looking at your team now.
The coach sets the identity of a team, and it is some of the tone after a playoff game does matter, and that's something that caught my attention, and we'll see, obviously, if there's any impact in game three. If they turn it around, then okay, great.
So what if they lose by 10?
They lost again, you know, at home this time. So, okay. Yeah, no, it is definitely a problem. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So we'll make an 80s reference here. Air Supply. You know this song? I'm all out of love.
I was born in 81. I do not.
I'm so lost without you. Yeah, well, now one NFL team is all in on love. The references today are brilliant. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM.
What song is this?
1080. It's called Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock?
I'll get you guys involved.
Put
in
it this way. Yeah. Whatever station is on, you're not listening.
No, I was not listening. It's growing
up. He's out of Montauk, and he's got the board shorts on. And
Sag Harbor.
Listen, it is going to take a miracle for Aaron Rodgers to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
I love Aaron Rodgers. Don't get me wrong. When it's time to go, it's time to go. You can't let one sour apple spoil the rest of that because he doesn't want to be there.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
My highlight tape, high school.
House of Pain.
It was on my high school highlight tape.
Of course it was. Was that what they called the stadium you guys played at?
No, nah, we would rock that though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we would rock it. Everybody
this is one of those.
Everybody
like, yeah,
crowd.
This gets everybody jumping, no matter where.
As we rolling up Crenshaw High School, putting 50 on them, hanging on them.
That's what it
the
is.
Clock
you walked
run.
Into someone's when you walked into someone's stadium, right? Like that standing. That had to
no,
have
not
that.
Somebody's stadium when they came into our stadium. Our high school football field is intimidating.
Yeah.
It's very intimidating because of the location, the population of the buildup, the whole. It was very intimidating. We had you beat when you got off the bus.
You just knew you were in for one.
You're getting ready.
And were the stands filled? Like
both sides, completely.
Both sides.
To the point where we had to now bring in seats in the end zones. It was crazy.
That would rival Texas?
No,
what
California.
What you see in Texas? California. I'm saying it would rival what you see in Texas
yes.
is my point.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different because we was real urban with ours. Like my high school is in the – where Training Day was filmed, mm-hmm. You take our stadium and drop it right there. That's where it's at. Mm. So it was a different vibe. It was the music, the DJ, the whole. It was a different. You beat when you get off the bus. We got you. We up 10-0. You already spooked. And we was big, too. So yeah, when we come walking past the locker room, and you looking at us,
yeah.
You're like, oh, they grown. He got a full beard.
He's 23 years old, sophomore in high school.
Oh, gosh. Oh, and they're very intelligent and smart. A lot of guys go to college.
I like that.
Academically and athletically. So, you know, you had them beat.
That's definitely cool. Lambeau used to be like that. Now, who knows what Lambeau is going to be like without Aaron Rodgers there and for the first time in how long without a Hall of Fame level quarterback at QB1. And the issue,
before you move on, how long did we talk about Dak Prescott? 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
Felt like
offseason before something got done?
Before something got done.
Just
we're in that same place here. But you and I discussed something yesterday, Key, that and not on the show, but off the show, that I wanted to get back to, which is the why they drafted Jordan Love when they did, right? And this feeling that Aaron Rodgers and what he said, which I found to Kenny Mayne, which I found interesting, was, I won MVP and screwed up the plans, right?
Yeah.
Jordan Love was drafted to replace him?
No.
No. You're saying no. Then why did they draft him? Because you're telling me you had a quarterback who you have a 5-year rookie deal for him, and he's not going to play the first 4 years? How does it make sense?
So when you look at it, you say replace. Eventually. Not yesterday. Not yesterday. Aaron Rodgers was coming off I don't know the exact numbers, but it's like 29-3. They went to the NFC Championship game and got blitzed by San Fran. 29-3. Touchdown interception ratio. I may be off a number or two, whatever the case. 4,500 yards, whatever it may have been. They didn't look at Aaron Rodgers and say, Aaron Rodgers, you're done. They looked at an opportunity to get a backup quarterback for the next several years into such due time. You say, well, why would they waste a pick to get a guy who has 5 years on a 5-year deal? You got to guarantee the fifth year, which could be $20-something million. Why would he be a backup in his fifth year if Aaron Rodgers continue to go? They're not looking at Aaron Rodgers beyond those 4 years that they would have Jordan Love. They're looking at Aaron Rodgers in the first 3 years and saying, okay, if he getting a little older, if his play slips, we have a contingency plan in year 4 or 5 if we need to exercise that. That is how you're supposed to do things from a operational standpoint. But you must communicate that with Aaron Rodgers. They failed to do so. Failure to communicate is a problem.
What we have here
is failure to communicate.
It's a failure to communicate.
All you got to do is communicate. And it wouldn't be that issue. Aaron Rodgers was drafted not to replace Brett Favre, but eventually to replace Brett Favre. If Brett Favre kept going, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I don't know if I want to play. Right. I'm not decided. Give me 2 months. I'll decide. And then eventually they said.
Then why is
you
Rodgers,
know what?
Why would Rodgers have a problem with this if that's the logic behind it?
Because they didn't explain it to him.
Did the they need that, to? He didn't see that. Like, oh, I get it.
You need to walk to Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, we really like this quarterback at Utah State. We think he's going to be good in about 4 to 5 years. We want to bring him in. I understand. We might need to address some other positions, but I don't think Lazar and I don't think Adams and I don't think Equanimeous St. Brown. I think they're good for us. We got receivers. I think we're okay at the tight end spot. I don't like the linebackers in the draft, but we really like this kid. It gives us value. Because what happened when you got hurt the last couple of years, Aaron, we were messing around with DeShone Kizer. Remember we traded for him? It didn't work out. And then we got Brett Huntley. It didn't go so well. Mm-hmm. So we want to protect ourselves. That is communication. And they failed to do that.
And, Key, you can also ask him, what are your thoughts, Aaron? What do you think we need?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. Now let's find, I think we need to do this. But you make somebody a part of the conversation and include them.
Because when you look at it, you say to me, in fairness, as a reporter, you would say to me, well, why couldn't they just sign one of those veteran quarterbacks that's available that's not a real threat to him? Have you seen the backups in the NFL as veterans? The best ones aren't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I want somebody who is essentially going to cost me more money? Why would I want Mike Glennon than if I could have Jordan Love? Why would I want that?
Okay.
That's how I would look at it
from a
front office standpoint.
Because, again, I know we talk about this situation a lot, but we've got to – because I want to be able to tell the story the right way. So the story then should be it's not that drafting Jordan Love was a mistake. It was not explaining it to Aaron Rodgers.
It's not a mistake. I've been saying it from day one. It's not a mistake. Everybody went to this. He needs receivers. Oh, my God.
Right.
The dude threw for 4,500 yards, 29 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. How many damn receivers do we need? Like, seriously.
Right. But the optics of him not having a first-round pick from a wide receiver thing, it became a story.
I
understand
that, They got Davante Adams.
I understand.
Oh, they need to. Devontae's working too hard. Devontae don't think he's working too hard. Devontae loves getting the ball thrown at him.
I bet he does.
So it's
and he's about to get paid
when
for
things
it.
Are set and those narratives are set, people run with it.
Okay.
In all fairness to Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, I think I said his name right. They've done a good job at times surrounding Aaron Rodgers with talent, whether it was through the draft, free agency, undrafted free agents, whatever it may have been. They really have. I don't like what they did in terms of not the communicating part, but they really have. They've been in the two NFC championship damn games.
All right, well, that's the part that's maddening. It's just about the communication. But what it does now is it accelerates the process for Jordan Love. And this will be Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth, good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So listen to Matt LaFleur talking about the importance right now on Jordan Love and his development.
You know, he needs every rep he can get right now. He's a young quarterback that was not afforded a preseason last year. And so give him as many as he can handle, and we'll you know, spell him every now and again. But I just think every rep that he takes is so valuable, and you can learn something from both the good and the bad.
As we mentioned, he was QB3 most of the last year, never dressed, didn't really get any reps. So this right now is important just to get him as ready as you possibly can. Mm.
Yeah, it's okay. First of all, Jordan Love is getting the same sort of reps he's getting in OTAs, in mini camps. He's going to get in his private workouts. Let's be honest. If you know anything about training and quarterbacks, all those same back drills, and you see him running around
you're
and
doing
dropping.
Every day.
He's doing that every single day. He's delivering the football every day. Now comes, is he doing it with the receivers that he could potentially be playing with?
Right.
Are they going to Austin, Texas with like Baker Mayfield and OBJ and going an isolated area and throwing the football for a couple hours a day? That's important. The mental reps of understanding, processing the information that's being spit out to you from the head coach and the offensive coordinator, retaining that information, giving it to your players, your teammates, and they looking in your eyes and thinking, okay, he's confident.
Trust.
That's something that carries you into training camp. Now, remember, there's a huge break in the summertime. They're not going from today into training camp. They're going to have about a month off. Does he lose any of that by not being in the building? That's the important stuff.
How do you keep up with that, though? Like, what would
like
be
I
the
just
right?
Said, yeah. What I would do, so I didn't do it when I played because it was just, you know, I didn't want to do it. But what I would do and the way they do things now is you get your quarterback and you get your receivers and you get the running backs, I don't know, six or seven guys, and you go somewhere to an isolated area. And you go on vacation, and y'all vacation together, and y'all throw. Mm. You go rent one of them big old mansions you live in out in the Hamptons or something, where they got all the grass fields, and you throw the ball all over the lot for a couple weeks right before training camp. And you'll get all the conditioning in the world.
It's his job, basically, right? I mean, it's his job right
it's
now.
It's his team.
It's his team, and it just sounds
well,
like
it ain't his
sense,
team.
It's got to become his team. But there is clearly a sense of urgency here. It has to be.
So
getting back to the original point, though, is that they never planned on playing him this soon.
No, absolutely.
Which
not.
Is again,
because
well,
if they planned no planning,
make, like that's why it doesn't make sense.
Peanut
to me.
Butter. Think about something about peanut butter. Listen to me. If they planned on playing him this soon, he would have been taking reps last year, and right. He wouldn't be the number three.
Yeah,
they didn't plan on playing him. They never ever said in their wildest dreams, set up there and go, well, we'll take him in 20. He'll replace Aaron in 2021. They didn't play him. It wasn't like they.
So Aaron's saying that he messed up the plans, right, threw the wrench into it by winning MVP. That's him just being petty, like spiteful. That's not really what happened. Him winning MVP didn't like, well, we can't make this change now. They've never
Aaron
really
ain't
planned
just
on
talking
it.
About, Aaron's not just talking about year two. Aaron's talking about beyond year two.
Okay.
Aaron's talking about year four. You had a plan that I was going to be washed. Now, unless he falls off a cliff whoever he goes and plays for.
Yeah.
You know.
Which he's not going to do.
I would be.
He's not going to do.
He's going
so
nowhere.
That plan has been derailed and extended even out even further. And then you go into year three of the Jordan Love experience. He's not falling off a cliff then.
The best laid plans. All it takes is one MVP season and a very spiteful superstar.
And real quick before we move.
Yeah.
Remember, first round picks at the bottom of the draft is not viewed the same way in the past as they were. When you draft a guy in the first round several years ago, you were scared to death to do anything with him because of salary cap issues and everything. In this day and age, as you can see, Sam Darnold moved.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Haskins cut.
Mm-hmm.
They don't value first-round picks on the back end the same way as they did 10 years ago.
Well, what you want is the 5 years so you have more time, but what you don't want is to get to that fifth year if he's not who you want. So you need to know sooner rather than later, and they're going to find out pretty soon. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, so we'll bring our quarterback into this conversation next. That comes up after SportsCenter.
Hasselbeck.
Clings to the corner to Morris. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, blocked by Gobert. 1 second, he fires a two. The Jazz are going to win. The defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, blocks the shot in the corner, and the Utah Jazz have taken a 1-0 lead over the LA Clippers.
And Gobert spikes the basketball afterwards. That was the call on 97.5 The Zone. Rudy Gobert with the win ceiling block in the final seconds of a 112-109 win over for the Jazz over the Clippers in game one. Donovan Mitchell, third career 45-point playoff game, tied for third most in a player's first 30 games of his NBA playoff career. Joel Embiid had a career-high 40 points as the Sixers tied their series with the Hawks 1-1. Embiid, the first 76ers player with 40 points in a playoff game since Allen Iverson, went for 45 in 2003. Embiid finished second in the MVP voting. Nikola Jokic won it after his dominant all-around season. Jokic of the Denver Nuggets, the fourth center since 1984 to win MVP, the first since Shaquille O'Neal in 2000. SportsCenter brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Time for some Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth, good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's Best Network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. All right, so we continue the conversation we were just having here, and we bring in Dan Orlovsky, our quarterback, ESPN football analyst, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, good morning. So I was talking with the guys about this, about what's going on in Green Bay, and less about Aaron Rodgers not being there and more about Jordan Love and the importance of reps, but also the debate about whether or not they should have drafted Jordan Love, because as Aaron Rodgers said, winning MVP, I kind of ruined the plan, I guess, to replace him. Why would they have drafted Jordan Love? Key says because they needed a backup quarterback. Is that the reason?
No, absolutely not. Listen, in the NFL, it's always better to draft a quarterback when you want to rather than when you need to. If we look at situations like in Kansas City when they drafted Patrick, they didn't need to draft Patrick Mahomes. They just wanted to. They had Alex there. Even in Buffalo a little bit when they drafted Josh Allen, they had Tyrod Taylor, and they were a playoff football team. They didn't need to, but they wanted to. And vice versa, if you look at the situation in Pittsburgh right now, The future looks very bleak because they're eventually going to need to draft a quarterback, and that's when you overdraft at that position. I go back to last year. I had, or 2 years ago now, I had no issue drafting Jordan Love. When they surprised, but I was like, this
Okay, we're having some technical issues.
We said there's no issues. Well, there's obviously issues with his audio.
Yeah, more like a Wi-Fi issue like that. We'll get Dan back up here in a moment. But
see, I disagree with Dan, though. They did draft him to be the backup. They did not draft him to be the starter.
But you get his point. His point is it's better to draft when you want to rather than when you need to.
That's a legit point. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a legit point. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. And when you're Pittsburgh,
less pressure.
Pittsburgh feel a certain way about the quarterbacks that they have. That's why they didn't draft one. They got four quarterbacks on their roster, and I would argue and say two of them may have a legitimate shot of taking over for Big Ben.
Right.
And that would be Haskins.
Mason Rudolph was
it. Mason Rudolph. Yeah. Those would be the two that could potentially take over for Big Ben.
Just to get back to Green Bay for a second, though, if you have that, and this is where it really frustrates me about the way management has handled it. If you have history prior
that has happened with Brett Favre. And you put Aaron Rodgers in that same situation. And Aaron Rodgers had to go through all that, the back and the forth about Brett Favre. And to not communicate that scenario properly is so disappointing by management.
But see, Brett's situation, though, Jay, Brett's situation, he wasn't done. Like Aaron. They just drafted Aaron basically to be the guy at some point. Brett was a little bit older, you know, at the time, same squad as Aaron. And then they said to themselves, okay, Brett's playing around with us. We don't have time to keep playing. We've seen enough of this kid in preseason as well as in practice that we think it's going to be okay. Remember, he went 6-10 his first time out as a starter.
Right. Let's bring Dan back in here. Hopefully we have our technical issues.
I was just saying, why repeat the same thing over again?
Right. Under control.
Why repeat it?
All right. Dan, as you were saying before, you were rudely interrupted.
Alan, yeah. Yeah. First of all, Keyshawn, there's no way that they spent a first-round draft pick and they traded up to go get a backup quarterback. They were drafting him for the future.
Yes, that's a
again,
backup,
back
though, Dan. That's a backup, though, Dan. That's a backup. He ain't playing no time soon. Therefore, he's the backup.
I guess in the literal sense that his immediate role was going to be a backup quarterback. But they weren't drafting him to be a backup. They were drafting him for to be their franchise quarterback
absolutely
for the next dozen
years. You're correct.
And again, I'll repeat this. You draft a guy because you want to rather than when you need to. The issue was because of the lack of communication. Now, the question for me, because I think Green Bay right now is in a lose-lose-lose situation. Okay, like, let's say the unlikely thing is that Aaron Rodgers decides not to play this season, right? He's just retiring. Well, that's obviously a terrible situation for the Packers. Then let's say that they have to trade him. Again, another terrible situation for the Packers. And then let's say at some point, September 12th, he walks back into the building and goes, okay, I'm going to play this year. You never focused on football this offseason. You've got a disgruntled starting quarterback that's got tremendous impact within your locker room. It is going to be divided. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a good season. Like at some point, we are in the first week of June. At some point, you've got to focus on football as an organization because the Rams and the Seahawks and the Washington football team and the Cowboys, they're all focusing on football. And the Packers haven't been able to do that. And the last thing I'd say about the situation is this. If the reports are that Jordan Love is consistently still struggling with his accuracy, that's a big issue because it's only going to get harder. Can you know this? I mean, in OTAs, you're not in pads and you can't get touched. It's only going to get harder when guys put on pads and they can rip your face off. And so the fact that if he's still struggling with the accuracy is true, that would be concerning.
Yeah, man, ripping your face off. Can you imagine?
Play for Dan Campbell.
Can you imagine, Dan, that they're in OTAs and minicamp and they're watching a defensive end come Scott clean and run by him, and then they look visually and say, well, when we come to the season, that's not going to be a run by. It's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild. Correct. It's all outdoors. Let me ask you this. I know you said you're done. You're not going to say anything about Rodgers. You're done. Does he play or do they trade him? Bottom line.
I think they trade him. I just take Aaron Rodgers' words. I mean, this is, again, the 17 years in the NFL. And when Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, this is about the people, this is about the culture and the character. Unless that person changes roles, and I mean their general manager, Brian Gutekunst, unless he changes roles, I don't see Aaron Rodgers going back. Aaron Rodgers has made a ton of money. He's accomplished a ton of stuff. Aaron knows he's got 4 or 5 years left. Like, he has started to take care of his body for many years now, the way that Tom Brady has notoriously and the way that Drew Brees did. So him skipping a year to get ultimately what he wants 3 or 4 years elsewhere, I absolutely think would be something that he would entertain doing. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy that will and or can make the comments that he has made and then backtrack on those comments.
So, Dan, if he doesn't come back, then who's your pick to win an NFC North?
The Minnesota Vikings. I think that the an improving defense, top 5 offensive line, dominant run game. But I say the Vikings. You know, the Vikings had an awful start to the year last year, but they've probably got the best wide receiver duo in the NFC North. One of the better in the NFL, obviously. Darisaw, their first-round draft pick from Virginia Tech. If he's a plug-and-play player, that's huge. Dalvin Cook, we know they're a great run game. Danielle Hunter, the defensive end coming back. They need their young defensive backs to step up and play well. If I trusted Matt Nagy to run the offense the way that he should with Justin Fields, Chicago would be my pick. I just don't trust him to do that. So I'll take the Vikings.
Dan, thanks so much. Appreciate the time as always.
You got it, guys.
All right, deal.
Heavy Wi-Fi issues there.
Yeah, there was a
apologize
delay.
For some of that.
That's what happens when you got them big old houses like Jay and him.
Come on, man. Calm down.
That's when you got to run around and take everybody's iPad. Enough. Not right now. Daddy's got to work. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So coming up, another quarterback that was drafted in the first round. Key says he was also selected to be a backup.
When did I say that?
Don't you speak for Key.
We'll let you know. No, he did. It's fact. We'll discuss that after Jay has this from Indy.
The good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of a typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from the easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit.
The only thing that looked out of place with Mac Jones was his unusual number, 50.
It's not easy playing in New England, especially after Tom Brady. This town is tough.
He has a swag to him that I didn't know that he had.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Brought to you by California Almonds. With 6 grams of natural protein, there's nothing you and almonds can't do.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
The only thing that looked out of place with Mac Jones was his unusual number, 50.
This town is mean. This town is blue collar. Kid's gonna have a lot of pressure.
You know, you just can feel his energy and his leadership. He's out there confident. That's what you need in a quarterback.
Very mobile in the pocket. We haven't talked much about the New England Patriots as we talk about quarterback situations during mini camps right now, but they have a real interesting one. If you think about it, the different, I mean, it's the three-headed, right? Cam Newton, who you feel strongly will have a comeback season and play well and is the guy. He's their QB1, right? No doubt about it. No competition.
Bill Belichick said he's our starting quarterback.
Right.
So.
Right. The belief, however, is that they are trying to get Mac Jones, who they drafted in the first round, to be ready to compete for the job. And let's not forget about Jarrett Stidham, who a year ago around this time was
– He was competing too.
We were told he was the QB1 that they were very high on.
Well, I wasn't told that. I was told that everybody's competing.
Well, Stidham, you know, again, as we make a big deal about this stuff, so he was in 11-on-11 drills.
Wow.
Really had some good throws.
Yes.
You know how we are in the media. We pay attention to this stuff. Mac Jones missed a few throws. So, you know, we start power ranking who's who. Cam Newton's got – Was it the hand?
I think it's a hand.
Hand issue that they know is not serious, but it's kept him out from any workouts. But I want you to, because you know Bill Belichick well, decode what Coach Bill had to say about Mac Jones right here.
I think Max, you know, he has a pretty good understanding of, you know, the things that we do. And then, you know, he has to go out there and do them and get comfortable with them. So, you know, it's a process. And we've had, you know, a number of other players at that quarterback position come in and go through that. He's working hard. You know, he's puts in a lot of time and certainly given his very best effort to do everything we've asked him to do and do it the way that we've asked him to do it, which, you know, is a great place to start. And you know, he's earned a lot of respect for that. But he's got a long way to go. Well, we'll see how it goes.
So is this effervescing with optimism about him, or is he downplaying expectations?
Well, first of all, he knows everything about us because Nick Saban's already told him I'm a no-nonsense guy and I run a tight ship, and he sees that, so he understands that. He's processing the information well because he is a smart guy that could grasp the information.
Mm-hmm.
With all that being said, he's not stepping on the field unless something happens, and that is what Bill Belichick is saying because he has a long ways to go.
Long ways to go. Was that out of all of that was the key phrase, long ways to go?
A lot of coaches are going to say that about young players. They're not going to be like, wow, oh my God, he's just – they don't do that.
Oh, I know.
They don't put you in candy.
But even a coach
beforehand.
Like him does reveal there's always one little Easter egg in every quote, in every comment. There's Easter egg.
He's got a long ways to go.
That's the one, right.
I mean, he does. I understand they drafted him to eventually become the starter.
Mm-hmm.
That eventual is not today. So let's stop trying to force it. We tried to force Mac Jones going – well, I didn't, but we tried to force Mac Jones to the San Francisco 49ers at three.
Yeah.
And to a point it was like, man, will you just stop? This is the same situation. Eventually,
right,
his opportunity will come where he's really fighting to become the starter. Right now in day one, he's not the starting quarterback. And I don't foresee him being the starting quarterback unless it just – I'm talking about just bad. Like, it's to the point where you like, we got all this stuff except the quarterback. Then, yes, but he's not beating Cam Newton out. It's just not going to happen.
Right, not right now. All right, that's Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth, good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's Best Network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. You have said about him, you mentioned about Jordan Love. These are guys who were not drafted to be starters. Just
today.
Right. Clarify what that means.
It means that they draft him for the future, not to be the starter to take over today. Trevor Lawrence drafted to be the starter. Zach Wilson drafted to be the starter. Trey Lance not drafted to be the starter. Drafted to learn from the starter and eventually become the starter in due time. So when you look at things like that, that is what happens when you have veteran quarterbacks who can play the game. They usually become the starter until such due time that a guy is ready. That's what happens.
Okay. That's the explanation. It's not that we didn't draft him to start ever. It's we didn't draft him to be the immediate starter right now. It's we know it's going to take some time, but we like it. We like what we see, so now we're going to see if it can turn into something.
You look at the Kansas City situation, with Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith was a pretty good starter for Kansas City.
Right.
They saw something in Patrick Mahomes to give him a kick over the top, just a tick over the top. They said, we'll roll with Alex Smith for now, but eventually we've seen enough in practice, in live bullets go to flying, that this kid responds a certain way. He's got to be the starter.
And didn't they say that about Mahomes, that they didn't expect him to accelerate his process as he did? Like, they didn't expect him to get to the point he got to, and that's why they moved on from Alex Smith. It wasn't like they had that plan, 1 year of Alex Smith, then we go to Mahomes. It was that Mahomes showed them,
yes,
well, we only need one year.
And they could see, based on the information that he's given, retaining the information, how he's spinning the ball, where he's placing the ball, in pads, in training camp, in preseason games, how he's handling situations.
Right.
And they say to themselves, it's only going to take him a year, maybe two, and then he's going to eventually be our guy.
What's the better situation to be in? Would you rather be in the situation of, I'm drafting this guy, I'm going to make him my starter, or is it better to have that buffer of, you know what, I'm going to draft this guy, see if I like him and give him some time, but I don't have that pressure to play him right away?
The second. Yeah. I like the second. Because drafting a guy and playing him immediately, that means that you're in trouble. That means that most likely you're in trouble.
So why isn't Justin Fields in this category?
I think Justin Fields wins the job.
But you think he was drafted to start?
I think Justin Fields was drafted to eventually start sooner rather than later. Does that make sense to you? Like, really soon.
It does, but it's like sort of really, the in-between of the two. Between Trevor Lawrence and, yes, Mac Jones is Justin Fields.
Yes.
Like, the extremes. He's more, yes, in the middle of,
yeah,
the
– because I can only take, I can only take so much of Andy Dalton. See, I got 17 games.
Yeah.
And if I roll Andy Dalton out there and it doesn't look good in the first couple games, I have the luxury to snatch him out and put the other guy in. Where – you look at some of the other situations, the Trevor Lawrence situation, he's a starter from day one. I'm not putting in Minshew once. It's Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Minshew's only there if something happens to Trevor and I got to play him. So it's a lot of, you know, you look at Lamar Jackson's situation. Lamar was drafted to eventually take over. They saw enough of Flacco and said, we got a really good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not getting ready to screw this up. You go and do your deal.
And they also had the offense ready to go for him as,
yes,
well. Do you want me to give you some reporter stuff from minicamp?
Yes, please.
Trevor Lawrence threw a couple of picks, had a hand.
Oh, God, was he trying to throw to Tim Tebow? Was he forcing it to Tebow?
Maybe he was. Coming up, how the claw got caught in a spider web. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and heading to ESPN News. Go there now.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.